Bem-vindo. Bienvenida.
Bienvenue.
This week on Travelog Media.
I don't think that this situation, this 100th anniversary, would be complete if we do not have a better understanding of the relationship that was established when that document was created.
This week we'll hear from Gerard Emanuel. He gave a talk on status and citizenship before and after Transfer Day at the J. Antonio Jarvis Museum and Learning Center. The talk was part of an ongoing lecture series presented by We from Upstreet. For more information, check the link to the article on daramanifa.com. And continuing with the spoken word and poetry theme, we'll hear a poem by Tanama Calibri and a short piece about belief and faith by TNT, a longtime friend of the show and contributor. Greetings and blessings, listeners. Welcome to another edition of the Travelog Media Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Clarell, podcasting from the United Virgin Islands. Find new episodes on Tuesdays. Subscribe on iTunes, Android, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can reach out on social media. I'm Travelog Media on Facebook, Twitter, Jay Clarell on Instagram, Travelog Podcast on SoundCloud. Send email to podcast@travelog.media. The first piece in the poetry and spoken word segment comes from Tanama Calibri. Tanama is a singer, songwriter, and poet who has performed all around the world. She has a new book of poetry available called On a Day Like This. You can check the link in the show notes and let her know if you'd like to order a copy.
This is a poem I wrote last year for my mother and my sisters. And this is to all mothers and all sisters. We share the same womb, man. Plasmatic womb dance. Mystical, magical void. Chromosomal blood scroll. Fed us through the same soul. Cuddled by her hum. Learned the first vibration was our mother's heart made drum. Kicked within her stomach and felt the same round walls. Recognized before brown eyes the sweetness of her call. Memorized her happiness. Realized her pain, knew what she was going through before we knew her name. As each one made her rite of passage, inseparable we became.
Next up is a short piece from someone you may recognize if you've been a longtime listener. He's been on the show many times in the past, and I asked if he'd like to contribute some writing to this new segment. Here it is.
This is TNT. You know, TNT. A lot of words passed through my mind in a lot of times. As I was thinking of words or times in my lifetime to write about, words that would leave a lasting impression in the growing minds of progressing people, I came across these words. We routinely disqualify testimony that would plead for extenuation. That is, we are so persuaded of the rightness of our judgment as to invalidate evidence that does not confirm us in its reality. Nothing that deserves to be called truth could ever be arrived at by such means. There are times when we choose to believe something that would normally be considered absolutely irrational. But it surely is not rational. Perhaps there is a super rationality reasoning beyond the normal definition of facts or data based on logic. If you can see a bigger picture of reality, maybe that is where faith fits in. Think about it. TNT.
If you'd like to share some of your writing, please reach out on social media or email podcast@travelog.media. The Travelog Media Podcast needs your help. If you enjoy listening and find this podcast valuable, please consider a donation of any amount. Visit paypal.me/JSKmedia. This week, Gerard Emanuel gave a talk on the status and citizenship before and after the transfer of the Virgin Islands from Denmark to the United States in 1917. It's a really interesting topic, and I'm still trying to wrap my head around all the legal aspects. It's certainly relevant today as Virgin Islanders approach the transfer day centennial on March 31st.
The citizens in the U.S. Virgin Islands, San Juan, and even Puerto Rico, we're U.S. citizens, pursuant to an act of Congress. Can one Congress bind another Congress? No. It's a whole new Congress. And back in 1981 or something, when they were dealing with the Fourth Constitutional Convention, I think you probably want to know anyway, Mr. Ross gave me some documents when he went up to discuss these things with the Interior and the Justice Department. One of their officials said, you know what you should do in the Virgin Islands? You should petition and put in this constitution that you want your citizenship to be guaranteed constitutionally. In other words, where the first sentence of the 14th Amendment, all persons born and naturalized, born and naturalized in the United States, not in the United States and its unincorporated territories. Right. Justice Brown made that clear. There are places subject to the jurisdiction of the United States that aren't really considered part of the United States, and that's us, right? So those people have constitutionally protected citizenship. So even though we were naturalized, like somebody coming from Antigua, right? Our citizenship could be, well, not my personal citizenship, but anybody born after a Congress passed that law could be denied the right to have citizenship in this territory. Okay? But then they can't go to a naturalized person, because their citizenship is guaranteed by the 14th Amendment. Our citizenship is only guaranteed by some act of Congress in 1927. If Trump get control of Congress, they can wake up on the wrong side and say, these people accusing me of having to do things in Russia too much. They get rid of all my people and saying that they had bad deals with the Russians and all kind of stuff. We don't get rid of these bunch of territory. We can't do anything with the states. We could do something with the territories. So that's the thing that I was saying, that when I was telling people what we needed native rights. Because we are not similarly situated like they talk about in law. If two sets of people are not similarly situated, they have to be treated differently. How many people here use the correct hand? This is the correct hand. You have correct handers or wrong handers?
After the talk, I had an opportunity to speak with Mr. Emanuel. So you just spoke about the transfer treaty, which turns out is illegal, and the issues surrounding that coming up on the centennial of the transfer from Danish West Indies to the United States. Just wanted to know how you would envision, what you would like to see happen as an outcome from this upcoming, I don't want to use the word celebration because that's even controversial, but this transfer day, what would you like to see Virgin Islanders come away with?
Okay, thank you very much for asking that question. The treaty was illegal only in a technical sense, because St. Croix was made part of the transfer. The illegality had nothing to do with St. Thomas and St. John. It had to do with St. Croix only, because St. Croix was an island that was purchased by France, or owned by France, and they sold it to Denmark. When they sold it to Denmark as a part of the treaty, Denmark was not to sell that island unless it gave France the first option to repurchase it. So only within that context was it illegal. But because of the larger issue of World War I, I think Denmark was not considering that. And even France would not have stopped it, because all of them wanted to deal with Germany, which was becoming a major problem on the world scene. What I would like to see is for the Virgin Islands as a whole to become more self-sufficient. irrespective of whether we want to change our status or maintain the current lack of status, we still need to be self-sufficient. And I think we need to be self-sufficient in three basic areas. First in water, then in food, and then in energy. And these are all possible from the resources that we have here. We have mountains, we have hills, which historically have been used to have catchments to take a lot of water. Thousands and millions of gallons of water used to be caught in cisterns below the hills. But I understand it was stopped because the water was contaminated and it was creating a health hazard. With all of the inventions we have now for purifying water and protecting water, that is no longer an issue. So with all the hillsides that we have, which people say are not resources, they're resources, it just depends on how you look. Some places are flat, the Bahamas is flat, they don't have hills, Aruba is flat, but the Bahamas is independent, and Aruba is almost independent. So we have to really change the way we think. That's the first thing that we have to do. And look at the things that we have here as opportunities instead of obstacles. Once we become independent in water, we can make that water available to all farmers, whether commercial farmers or home garden farmers, to produce whatever food they want. The last area I think that we can become sufficient in is energy. We don't have to be using fossil fuels all the time. I think fossil fuels should be the backup, and wind and solar and any other type of renewable energy source should be the main thing. But that may not be possible. But even if it's not possible, I think we need to expand our capacity to be using renewable energy sources. If we do that, I will be happy when I close my eyes.
All right. Just to follow up, what do you see as the biggest obstacle or obstacles to self-sufficiency?
I think it's the way we think or don't think. I think that everything begins with us inside. If we think we can, as the choo-choo chain, when we used to do our nursery rhymes, I think I can, I think I can. If we think we can, we can. If we think we can't, we can. So I think it's really lack of vision, lack of confidence, not lack of ability. We have so much ability in this Virgin Islands, but I don't think that we're thinking about changing anything right now. We think that we may not like everything about the status, but we like enough about it that we're afraid to change it to something else. But we don't have to change the status. We just have to change the way we think about it. We can become more self-sufficient. That is a logical process in nature. But we're like a ship that's supposed to be sailing somewhere, but we're sailing fast nowhere. And I don't know what kind of ship is that, because that I've never heard of a ship that doesn't go anyplace except the Virgin Islands.
Do you want to do just a quick summary of the talk?
I will be happy to do that. Yes, today what we discussed is the status of Virgin Islanders before the transfer, the status of Virgin Islanders after the transfer, the status of these islands before the transfer, and the status of these islands after the transfer. We also discussed certain terms in the Treaty of Cession between Denmark and the United States, and its implication for the rights of the various persons mentioned in the treaty. We also got into discussions of status and rights and possibilities and education and a number of issues that are very germane to us developing as a people. And I'm hoping that on this 100th anniversary that we at least have some better understanding of the document that is the basic legal instrument that governs the relationship between the United States and Denmark. I don't think that this situation, this 100th anniversary, would be complete if we do not have a better understanding of the relationship that was established when that document was created. And if we do that, I think that even if we don't have any celebration, if we at least have a good understanding of that document, I think that would be satisfactory to me. But I mean, I like celebrations too, and I think I have to be honest and say there are things that we can celebrate. I don't have a problem saying that there are things we can celebrate. I'm not locked into that. I'm a free thinker. We have to be honest. There are things that happened within the last 100 years. I mean, we have better sanitation. We have a much better infrastructure. We have a much better educational system. We have more people who are literate. We have people who are involved in government. We elect all of our government officials. We have a Supreme Court. We've had discussions on status. So there are things that have happened that are beneficial, for which we can be proud. My issue is that the things that we can be proud of pale in comparison to the one fundamental step that we have not taken, and that is to put ourselves into a different level of relationship with the United States of America, wherein we would either be able to have a say, a meaningful say, as equals in any of the terms of the relationship, or we will have the final say. And until we make a step that achieves one of those minimal changes, I don't think that the celebration is really warranted, because anything that we've achieved now or has been granted to us can be taken away unilaterally. And until that fundamental status changes, there really isn't anything to celebrate in the long term. But in the short term, yes, we can celebrate that we've gotten to this point, but everything can be taken away. So until we change that, I think we need to keep fighting to make sure that we get that done.
All right, thank you. One last quick thing is for people listening who might be interested in researching this on their own and finding out what they can about Transfer Day and the documents, the treaties, and so forth. What resource or resources do you have? Would you point people to?
Okay, the foundational document of the transfer is the convention between the United States and Denmark, sometimes called the Treaty of Cession, or the treaty between the United States and Denmark. That is the fundamental document that governs the relationship between the United States and Denmark in terms of the transfer. But we also have our revised Organic Act, which is really the foundation of government in the Virgin Islands. You also have William Boyer's book, America's Virgins, A History of Human Rights and Wrongs. You have The Umbilical Cord by Harold Willax. You have the Law of Nations, which was the body of laws that governed at the time of the transfer. You have the Insular Cases, which are those cases between U.S. Supreme Court cases between 1901 and 1922, which discuss these issues of unincorporated territorial status. You have the 1927 Act of Congress, the 1940 Nationality Act. I mean, you have so many different sources. You have the General Accountant Office reports on the Virgin Islands, which give a lot of information about status. And just talk to historians, talk to different people, look at the old newspapers. There is a lot of information. And use the internet. Put in a question, and usually the internet will give you a satisfactory response.
Right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming.
I encourage listeners to call in 303-731-6104. Again, 303-731-6104. And add your comments. I'll include them in a special Transfer Day edition of the Travelog podcast at the end of the month. I hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Travelog Media podcast. Please reach out on social media. I'm Travelog Media on Facebook and Twitter, Jay Clarl on Instagram, and Travelog Media on SoundCloud. Click the subscribe button on whatever you're listening from. Show your support by leaving a 5-star review on iTunes and making a donation. Hasta la victoria siempre. Walk tall, live free.